This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
Hi, it's Claire Kimball here, founder of The Squiz. One of the things that you've told us time and time again is that you appreciate how we do the news, but also appreciate the fun and the quirky bits and pieces too. So I wanted to let you know that we have a weekly newsletter called The Saturday Squiz. It's the week in news, but it also has recommendations of great recipes, books, TV shows, podcasts, and so much more. So grab your phone, go on, and head to thesquiz.com.au to sign up. We're the shortcut to the news and so much more. That link is also in your episode notes.
Turkey's citizens have now voted twice to pick their national leader for the next 5 years, with Recep Tayyip Erdogan eventually coming out on top. He's made some big promises, but has a record of cracking down on dissent and diminishing democratic freedoms. So in this Squiz Shortcut, we'll take you through Turkey's politics and why it matters to the West. Squiz Shortcuts is the backstory to the big news stories. I'm Alex Tai.
And I'm Claire Kimball.
Claire, this weekend's runoff election for president of Turkey was eagerly anticipated, and that's because after 20 years, it was a close race. And that's great if you're a politics nerd like us. But before we start, Claire, why do we care? Why do we care?
Yeah, well, that's a pretty blunt way of starting, Alex. But the short of it is that Turkey is a NATO member state. It's got 85 million people. So it matters who is president, both to the West and also to Turkey's other many partners.
And NATO, of course, is that great big security alliance that encompasses the US, Canada, and Western Europe. It is also the bloc that is going hard in support of Ukraine after they were invaded by Russia last year.
Yeah, that's right. And the thing about that is that as a NATO member, Turkey can stop other countries from joining, and it can also influence its decisions and its actions.
And why that matters is because Turkey and Russia have a close relationship. In fact, since the start of the war in Ukraine, trade between the two nations has increased significantly. Claire, we'll get into all of that a bit more in a minute, but first, let's get a bit more background on Erdogan himself.
Yeah, so he's 69 years old. He's ruled Turkey since 2003. He came from pretty humble beginnings, but he's become the dominant figure in the nation's politics as he built it into a regional power. He's also championed Islamist causes, and he's been quick to really outmaneuver any of his political opposition.
I read one expert's piece where they said that Erdogan has reshaped the country more than any leader since Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, who is revered as the father of the modern Turkish Republic.
Yeah, so Erdogan's a really big figure, and there's been a lot said about his leadership style. In the last few years, that was shaped by an attempted coup that happened in 2016, which he responded to by dramatically increasing his powers and also cracking down on dissent.
And that crackdown saw the country's leading opposition politicians put in jail or banned from participating in government. But some time has passed since the coup, and that is why this election was seen as the opposition's biggest hope of unseating Erdogan. So let's get across the election and take a look at what comes next. So Claire, in this election just gone, there were a few issues at play, but Erdogan's high degree of control over the state did help him out.
Yeah, and probably the big one was the media's coverage of the campaign. Erdogan's allies control most of the country's mainstream media, to the extent that the state television network gave the president 32 hours and 42 minutes of airtime, and his challenger just got 32 minutes, and that was at the height of the campaign as they led into the vote in the start of May.
I suppose in Turkey, it pays to have friends in high places. Now, that challenger was named Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, and he was a progressive candidate, certainly progressive compared to Erdogan, at least. And as a former senior economist, he was advocating for reforms to make Turkey stronger.
Yeah, so there were two things that received the most focus in the election campaign. The first is that Turks are really struggling with soaring inflation. At the moment, it's at an annual rate of almost 50%. 7%. If you thought Australia's inflation, if 7% was rough, 50% really is quite something. And the country's still reeling, of course, from those earthquakes that happened at the start of the year that left more than 50,000 people dead.
And of course, it's going to take a big rebuild to recover in those areas that were hit by that tragedy. Claire, the election, the first round of it, was run on the 14th of May, and many experts said they thought there was a chance that at that point Erdogan would be done.
Yeah, it didn't happen though. So Erdogan did a lot better than many expected, or if you want to look at the flip side of that, they said that the opposition did a lot worse than was imagined. Erdogan secured 49.25% of the vote. Now, in past elections, he's got more than 50% of the vote, meaning that he was president automatically, but he didn't cross that threshold in that first run. It was put back to the polls a fortnight later.
And that vote was on the weekend just gone, the 28th of May, and it saw the top two vote getters contest the presidency in a runoff election. And the result in that vote was Erdogan with 52% and Kılıçdaroğlu on 48%.
So that will see Erdogan enter his third decade of leadership in Turkey. And what some local commentators say is that it shows that the nation prefers a tough guy to a nice guy.
Erdogan's critics, though, Claire, they say that given the relatively close result, Turkey is now a divided nation with a president who has no solution for the big problem of fixing the economy.
Yeah, and it really is the economy that's such a big deal there for the reasons that we just talked about. But looking further afield, of course, there's big questions about what his win means for the West. It's complicated because of that relationship that Turkey has with Russia. And of course, Erdogan's personal relationship with Russian President Vladimir Putin.
The optimists say that Erdogan could be a key person in negotiating with Putin as the war continues into Europe's spring and summer.
Yep, that's what the optimists say. And look, Europe certainly needs to work with Turkey as well on another big issue, which is the movement of refugees from the Middle East to places like Syria. Turkey is a gateway between that very troubled region and the hopes of many for a better life in Europe. But it's a lot for Turkey to manage. And if it allows people smugglers to send boats of asylum seekers and other migrants over the Mediterranean, it's a real problem.
So there are many, many, many reasons to keep an eye on what's happening in Turkey under President Erdogan. And that is your shortcut to President Erdogan's election win in Turkey. Claire, our longer shortcut this week is on something completely different. It is on Wales.
Yeah, a bit different to the high politics of what's happening internationally. It's about the migration of whales. Of course, that's happening at the moment. The experts say in record numbers. So Kate and I take a look at that.
I cannot wait. Keep an eye out in your feed. Thank you for joining us. Until next time.